Welcome to Water of the Word, the radio ministry of Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. Join us today as Pastor Steve continues through a verse-by-verse study of the book of Zechariah. Though written more than 500 years before Jesus, this powerful little book has much to say about today's headlines, as well as deep insight into the Lord's work and ministry in the lives of believers right now. So come on along. May we all be refreshed and inspired as we are washed by the water of the Word.
Hey, what do you do when you get a great novel home from the bookstore? You do what I do. You turn to the end and see how it turns out. What? You guys don't do that? Zechariah 14 with one finger, and would you join me in Revelation chapter 19? Join me in verse 11. This is at the end of the great tribulation, the seven-year tribulation that the book of Revelation is all about. All the armies of the whole earth are gathered in one location that we'll look at today. And they're all there, and they got their weapons trained on Jerusalem. Why would all of the nations of the world focus on Jerusalem? We're going to look at that today. But anyway, as their guns are trained, let's get them, says the Antichrist. Verse 11. And now says John, I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. Wait a minute, who is this, everybody? This is Jesus. I thought he was the Lamb of God. Well, he was the first time. The second time, the second advent, if you will, his arrival to planet Earth, the second coming, he's not the babe in the manger. Let's look and see. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no one knew except himself. And he was clothed with a robe dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. We know who that is now, don't we? Verse 14. And the armies in heaven, that's us, you guys, more on that in a moment, we are clothed in fine linen. Now look at the laundering condition of our robes. White and clean. How come his is bloody and ours is white and clean? That's what we're going to be talking about today. We followed him on white horses. Some people have asked the question, are there animals in heaven? Well, there are here. Verse 15. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, and with it he should strike the nations. And he himself will rule over them. Rule over who? All of the nations. With a rod of iron. And he himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Our section in Zechariah 14 is talking about this actual time. Verse 16. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Verse 17. And then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the birds that fly in the midst of heaven, come on, you birds, gather together for the supper of the great God. Well, what are they going to eat? Verse 18, that you may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses, and of those who sit upon them, and the flesh of all the people, free and slave, both small and great. When is this going to happen, and where is this going to happen, is what we'll look at today. Verse 19, and then I saw the beast. Who is that? That is the Antichrist. More specifically, it's a human fella that the devil was working with at the first half of the Great Tribulation. Then, as we're going to see here in a minute, at some point, Lucifer is tossed out of heaven, no more access. He is thrown to the earth, and he demon possesses this human. And now there's no more subterfuge. This human looked like he was a man of great peace, but that's all going to change now. He made a deal with them for, guess how long? 7 years. Daniel 9 says in the midst of that, 3.5 years in, he breaks his covenant and says, forget you. He puts a statue of himself in the Holy of Holies. and he goes whole scale, all out, after guess what group of people? The Jews. Then I saw the beast, the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against who? Him who sat on the horse and against his army. That's us. Right in your margin there, that's Psalm 2. Why do the heathen rage? And why do they plot a vain thing? And why does God laugh at them for it? That's this. And the Valley of Armageddon. And you know what all the generals and all the leaders of the battlefields and armaments stretched in the 180 miles of Armageddon, you know what they say? Get them. Get them? Yeah, bad move. That's why the Lord laughs. Let's keep reading. Verse 20. And then the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who worked miracles in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshiped his image. And these two were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. Verse 21. And the rest of this army were killed with the sword, which proceeded from the mouth of him who sat on the horse. And all the birds were filled with their flesh. All right. With that as a backdrop, now back to Zechariah. And would you mind if we skip back to chapter 13 to get a running start? Let's dim the lights a little bit. You ready, Valerie? This is to give us a map, an understanding. That, by the way, is planet Earth. You might have recognized it. Let's move in. Go ahead, push the go button. No, 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 no. We're going a little further. There's the Mediterranean Sea. No, 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 no. There to the left is Egypt. To the right would be the Arabian Peninsula, Saudi Arabia. Jordan would be in that right portion of the frame. Syria is to the top, and Lebanon. Do you notice the little body of water toward the upper middle portion? That's the Sea of Galilee. Do you see that big valley that drains into that lake there that you see under the name Jerusalem? That's the Dead Sea. When you are standing on the shores of the Dead Sea, you are 1,300 feet below sea level. It's the lowest place you can be on planet Earth without being underwater. All right, now let's zoom in. No, 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 no. Here's Haifa, the only natural harbor on the coastline of Israel. And there is a little tiny city. It's a hill, really. There's not much happening there today. It's called the Hill of Megiddo. Let me show you what it looks like. Hit the go button. There is one of the excavations that has been done probably in the last 25 or 30 years. It is estimated that what they have uncovered there are some stables that date back to the time of King Solomon. But this region, more or less, is called the Hill of Megiddo and behind. Next slide. Right across the little valley is another city you might recognize. That's Nazareth. Jesus was born in Bethlehem, but where was he raised? Do you remember? He was raised in Nazareth. I want to show you something kind of cool. Hit our next button there. You are now standing on the elevated city of Nazareth, and these hills are falling away from you. This is called the Valley of Jezreel, or the Valley of Esdraelon. See the little arrow? That is Megiddo, and that's where we were just a minute ago looking across. When you are in Nazareth, you really are at a higher vantage point. Jesus was raised in Nazareth, and on this northwestern slope, excavated, has been many sort of trash heaps. When you were done with the refuse of your daily life, you went to the edge of the city and you threw your garbage over to the side. How many of you make your sons and daughters take out the trash? When Jesus was a kid, he probably had the same duty. And when he did, this was his visage. This was his view, the Valley of Armageddon. I wonder. And remember when he first started ministering, his mom and his brothers were a little embarrassed. Jesus, somebody go in and get him out there. He's like teaching stuff. So I wonder if taking an earful from the household, go take out the trash, Messiah. And he would, And I wonder if a time or two his eyes raised from the trash heap and he looked across that 10 or so miles, knowing that someday Revelation 19 was coming. That is a picture from Megiddo looking back across the other valley. And you see that white portion up here? That's Nazareth. We were just there a minute ago looking in the opposite direction. And that technically is the Valley of Armageddon, but there's more. Go ahead and hit the go button again. The book of Daniel that we have taught on, right about verse 39 in chapter 11 and 40, Daniel says there will be these kings of the south. Go ahead. Then there will also be kings from the north. And we'll look at these in detail. And go ahead. And then there will be the European Confederacy. And when we think of Europe, we think mostly of Western Europe, but I'm going to show you that there's a detail and there's a little bit of a hint that the leader will not be the Western leg of the Roman Empire, but likely the Eastern leg of the Roman Empire. And you remember where its capital was? In modern day Istanbul, or if you will, Syria. One of the clues, hints, is that he is called the Antichrist and Assyrian. More on that next week. And then when it doesn't look like it's going to get any worse, what happens? God dries up the Euphrates River to the east, and here comes 100 million soldiers. And it was in 1991 or 1992 that China announced proudly that they were equipping an army of, guess what the number was they quoted? 100 million soldiers. All right, now we're going to zoom in. There again is Megiddo, Haifa up here, Megiddo, the Jezreel Valley. Now I want you to notice the Sea of Galilee is under Megiddo, the Jordan Rift Valley, and then finally the Dead Sea. Another city that's very important in today's study, it's called the city of Petra. Selah, it's sometimes referred to in the Bible, but mostly it's referred to as Basra. Basra. It is in the current day nation of Jordan. Now here's what I want you to notice. As we saw in 19, his robes are bloody. Where did they get bloody from? As we'll see in Zechariah 14 here in a moment, he's landing in Petra or Basra. Go ahead, hit the go button. From Megiddo to Petra, it's about 1,600 furlongs. Or if you will, about 180 miles. And the Bible says that the blood will spatter to the height of the horse's bridles through that entire valley. Well, more on Petra. Let me give you a visual tour. Go ahead. This is the only entrance to the rock city of Petra. This is a peculiar geological formation. High cliffs and mountains on all sides except for one opening, and there it is. That's the beginning. It's called the Seek. And you see the human. Can you see the human right there in the portion? I have it on good occasion, this picture, this photograph, that is Nancy Missler right there. Nancy, if you're watching, send us a little card and say, yep, that was me. This is the only way in. It comes in from the south. And it gets so narrow sometimes that it's only wide enough for a jeep or a horse. Next slide. Let's go further into the Seek. Look how narrow it gets. Pushing even further, go ahead and you come out to Raiders of the Lost Ark right there. Remember the third installment of the movie? Look at this amazing structure carved out of the rock. This is called the Treasury. I don't know why it's called the Treasury. Look at the humans that are down here. Look at the size of the thing. I've actually been inside there, and you know what's in the back? Snow cone stand. No, there's no snow cones back there. But it's not very deep. It doesn't go back very far. You want to keep cruising through Petra, this rock city? Look at this other structure, again, carved out of the rock. Some of you movie fans may recognize this. This is where the primes were entombed in the second Transformer movie. I got no Transformer fans in here today. All right. Now keep cruising and look at that. There are caves all over. It is estimated that 3 million people could be housed in these structures. Look at these structures. It is estimated that many of these caves were carved through many thousands of years. A group of people called the Nabateans actually formed that. They have an interesting attachment that goes all the way to Esau. Do you remember Jacob and Esau? And Esau got mad and was frivolous with his birthright, and he sold his birthright to Jacob for some bean stew. Well, the Edomites descended, and it's the descendants of Esau that carved all of these. Next one. Look at this. An entire amphitheater is located inside. Next slide. Now we are back to Nazareth, looking northwest, and there is, of course, Megiddo on the other side. If you were to turn left and look down 1,600 furlongs, when Jesus comes back to the earth, why are his garments spattered in blood? Because all of the nations, the non-believing, God-hating nations, they've gathered there because where are they going? They're on their way to destroy the Jews and Jerusalem. It's at that point when Jesus shows up, the heavens part. He comes in, he stops by Petra first. Do you want to see why? All right, leave that up and bring our lights up and let's get into our study. Zechariah chapter 13 to get a running start, verse 7. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd. Who is God's shepherd? The good shepherd, Jesus. Against the man who is my companion, says the Lord of hosts, strike the shepherd and the sheep will scatter. Was that fulfilled? Yes, on the night that Jesus was going to be betrayed. And then Jesus said, today you're going to be caused to stumble because they're going to strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. However, there is also what is called a near fulfillment. Have you ever noticed that the Bible oftentimes will have one single prophecy, but if you look in the history books, you will find that there is a near fulfillment. I like to call that a dress rehearsal. For instance, remember how I told you the Antichrist is going to set a statue of himself up in the Holy of Holies? Did you know that that's happened before? A guy by the name of Antiochus Epiphanes, or Antiochus IV, 168 B.C., did something similar. He kills many of the priests. He sacrifices pigs, an unclean and kosher animal, on the holy altar. And you know what he does? He places in the Holy of Holies a statue of Jupiter, the Greek god. 3 years it required for the Jews to sort of get back on top, and because of the Maccabean revolt, they toss him out. And that lived forever within the pathos, within the fabric of Jewish culture, in the form of the glorious day when they kicked out the last of the Greeks, and then you know the story, there was only oil for the lamp for one day. They lit the lampstands, they Levitically began to reproduce the oil, and it took them 8 days, but the miracle was the one-day supply ended up lasting for 8 days. And what do the Jews celebrate that till, even till this day? Hanukkah. It's called the winter dedication. Antiochus is a dress rehearsal, everybody, for what the Antichrist is going to do in our future. The last half of the Great Tribulation, when the remnant of Israel, Zechariah 12, when they will look upon me, Jehovah God, whom they pierced, and they will mourn. Oh, what have we done? So, verse 7 again, awake, O my sword, against my shepherd, against the man who is my companion, says the Lord of hosts, strike the shepherd, the sheep will be scattered, and then I will turn my hand against the little ones. Who is that? That's the nation of Israel. Why does God do that? We've talked about that before, right in your margin, Deuteronomy chapter 28. Remember when God was going to give them the land under Moses? And God basically said, if you do all these things that Moses has told you, it will go well with you. Your land will produce. There won't be any wars or pestilences. But if you don't, then I will have to take you out of the land verse 8. And it shall come to pass in all the land, says the Lord, that two-thirds in it. And who are the two-thirds being talked about here? The Jewish people. Wait a minute, wasn't there a terrible Holocaust during World War II? It was terrible. And for lack of a better description, if you will, another dress rehearsal. How many Jews perished in World War II in the concentration camps? 6 million. At that time, roughly one-third of all the Jewish population were killed in the Nazi concentration camps. And was that horrible answer? Oh, beyond measure. But Zechariah is saying it will be worse the second time. God shows up on Israel's behalf in two amazing ways, supernatural ways. And they are still going to believe the first 3.5 years that that man, the Bible calls him the beast, the Antichrist, he is our beloved Messiah because he gave us peace and he built us a temple. And I think that first 3.5 years, when a large portion of these two-thirds perish, is probably in that time. What God is doing is trying to say, Israel, you have made a covenant with hell, says Isaiah. It shall come to pass in the land, says the Lord, that two-thirds in it shall be cut off and die, but one-third shall be left in it. I will bring one-third through the fire. I will refine them as silver is refined and test them as gold is tested. What is the fire, everybody? All right, we're going to do a little jumping around here. Let's now go to Matthew chapter 24. I've been in church 30-some years. I have never had anyone take me through point by point what the campaign of Armageddon looks like. How many of you for the first time have ever seen a picture of the Jezreel Valley like this? How many of you have never seen pictures of the rock city of Petra? I know that there are churches teaching, you know, how to love your spouses, how to watch out for your finances, how to raise teenage kids, and praise God for those churches and those teachings. And we do that here, of course, as well. Have you been watching our embassies going up in flames? Do you understand that when Gaddafi went down in Libya, when Hosni Mubarak was deposed from Egypt, and here they are, the whole world pressure trying to take Assad out of Syria. Those despots were wicked men, to be sure, but they gave and lent to the region at least a modicum of stability. They're out now. Who's in control? I don't know. And if you study any political science or physics for that matter, what's the old term? Nature abhors a vacuum. And in political science, it's just the same thing. Where there is no centralized power structure, power will take control. And I just wonder, is this the precursor, the unsettling of the whole Middle East that will precipitate some sort of war that we have described in Psalm 83? I don't know. But I do know that even last year at this time, in the midst of the Arab Spring, and certainly before the Arab Spring, to see a lot of these things transpiring didn't seem like it could make logical sense. Yet today, it looks certainly uncertain. So with that, I believe with all of my heart, you guys, we are supposed to be ready. And I know that Jesus got on the scribes and the Pharisees during his time. You guys know the thing, red sky at night, sailor delight, red sky in the morning, sailor take warning. You're good about that, but you are not correctly discerning the time in which you're living, Pharisees. Teachers of my word. By and large, my people are ignorant of the time that I am here.
You've been listening to the Book of Zechariah with Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. We hope these Old Testament truths have been helpful models of just how powerfully God works right now in the life and ministry of every believer. If you missed any of today's message or would like to hear it in its full, unedited format, You can watch this or any of Pastor Steve's teachings at our website. Just visit us at harvestreno.org. That's www.harvestreno.org. Come join us Sundays at 10:30 and Wednesday evenings at 6:30. Harvest is located at 350 South Rock Boulevard in Reno. Until next time, Pastor Steve encourages all of us to follow Acts 2:42 and Word, Worship, Prayer, and Fellowship every day. May the Lord bless you and keep you as we are washed by the water of the Word.